and welcome to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. I'm your host, Melody Morgan, and this week I'll be filling in for your regular host, Sonato. Today, I'm joined by the amazing Ida Johannesson, head of commercial ESG here at Saxo Bank. Hi, Ida. How are you today?
Very good, Melody. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. Now, this is sort of a special episode because on our equities episode, we usually dive into the here and now of equities. But today, we're actually going to dive into the world of ESG in relation to equities. First, we'll talk about what exactly ESG equities are. Then we'll discuss how investors can use ESG equity criteria to make long-term investment decisions. And lastly, we'll discuss the outlook for ESG equities in 2024. So let's get started. Ida, can you begin by sharing with me and our listeners what exactly we mean when we say ESG equities?
Yes, certainly. ESG equities are equities, first of all. These are businesses just like any other businesses. But in addition, there is a focus on ESG factors with two main goals, I would say. First, mitigating risks, and then taking advantage of opportunities from ESG long-term trends.
Okay, can we take a little bit of a step back and explain some terminology? Just to make sure we're all on the same page, you, me, and the listeners. What is sustainability?
Sustainability comes from the word sustainable, which means the ability to maintain something, the ability for something to last. So here, when we talk about businesses, you want to invest in a company that not only is growing, but also is going to be around in the next 5-10 years. You don't want to invest in a company that would go bust next year. Then we are talking about sustainability with regards to E, S, and G, which are the environmental, social, and governance factors.
Okay, so what is ESG? Let's start with the E. Can you explain why the environmental criteria should be a concern for investors considering ESG equities?
The environment, because there is a strong systemic relationship between environmental issues and the economy. Many businesses depend on natural resources directly or indirectly, and the depletion of the former has a direct impact on the latter. Think of a mineral bottled water company like Evian. When fresh water sources are depleted due to overuse or global warming, then this has a direct impact on that business. Also, physical risk of climate change, like storms, flooding, or extreme temperatures, have a direct cost for industries like tourism, agriculture, and insurance.
Okay, and so now let's talk about the S. Can you tell me more about the social criteria for ESG equities?
Social factors have to do with how a company treats all of its stakeholders. So its employees, its clients, its suppliers, regulators, investors, etc., etc. So it is about providing products and services that appeal to customers in the long term. You do not want to be a singer that has one number one song. I believe it's called One Hit Wonders. It's much better to have staying power and be more like Beyoncé or Taylor Swift these days. Then there are the employees. A company must provide good working conditions if he wants to retain its workforce, or at least if he wants to retain its good people. Also, there's more and more generational differences with younger employees. Many of them are simply not willing to put up with certain behaviors from their managers that they consider unacceptable.
And lastly, the G stands for governance. So why should investors care about that?
Governance is extremely important. It is about how a company is managed and overseen by its board of directors. It's about essentially a company's business practices, including risk management, accounting, and even capital allocation. Companies need to operate in a compliant manner, in ways that ensure that they remain in business and aren't wiped out due to regulatory violations, fraud, or embezzlement. it's really the need to still be around in the next 5, 10 years, and maybe even better, 50 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're saying that ESG equities are equities, just like non-ESG equities. But what about performance? Because there's a common belief that ESG stocks tend to underperform, but that's not true, is it?
That's not true at all. ESG does not systematically underperform non-ESG stock. This is a myth that has since been debunked. There's tons of studies out there, and what I've found from meta studies is that there's no evidence to support the assumption that ESG underperforms non-ESG. According to a Morningstar review, 72% of ESG indices did better than their broad market parents for the five-year period between 2014 and 2019. And according to a 2021 Vanguard study, ESG funds do not systematically have higher or lower returns or risk than the broader market.
Right. So ESG equities doesn't mean a disregard for performance. On the contrary, it's about enhancing performance, correct?
Exactly. I mentioned it before, but I will repeat it here. ESG is about mitigating risk and enhancing performance.
Well, yesterday we had Saxo's macro expert Charu on the podcast, and she mentioned Saxo's Women in Leadership basket. I understand why the environment and governance are part of the criteria for ESG equities, but can you talk to us about why diversity and inclusion, and in particular, women in leadership, are included in the criteria for ESG equities?
In my opinion, there are two reasons why diversity and inclusion, and gender diversity in particular, are part of the social factor, the S of ESG. First of all, it's about social justice, the idea of fair and equal treatment for all people, regardless of gender, race, sexual orientation, or religion. And then second, it's about recognizing that in today's world that is so intertwined and globalized, diversity is here to stay. And diversity is a plus.
But why is it a plus?
I think we're not doing this because we are benevolent as a society. We're doing this because research from the likes of Harvard and McKinsey have shown that companies with more women in leadership positions perform better. Those companies tend to be more innovative, more socially responsible, have higher customer satisfaction, and higher employee retention. As we like to say at Saxo, it's a win-win. It's good for women, it's good for those companies, and it's good for society at large.
And it's about usually thinking of a more long-term view than short-term, right?
Yes, definitely, long-term. Back to the definition of sustainability. Sustainable investors want to invest in businesses that are going to be here in the next 5 to 10 years. Businesses that are unfocused on the next quarter financials, but have a long-term plan, a vision, and a strategy that would ensure that they are well positioned to weather the storms and come out strong in the long term. And guess what? Many of those companies tend to consider all the risks they face, including ESG risks.
And what do you think the outlook is for ESG equities in 2024?
I think that's a tough question, Melody. I'm not a psychic. I do not have a crystal ball. And I can't predict the future, but I'll share my 2 cents. In 2024, there's no getting away from ESG for companies. The public's expectations are getting stronger and louder. In addition, there's more regulatory requirement for sustainability disclosures, in particular in Europe. So whether or not you care about ESG as a company, you would have to disclose more and more, and you will be compared to your peers by investors, by clients, and even your employees.
So COP28 was last year's biggest global climate summit in the world, and it called for a transition away from fossil fuels. So what does this mean for sustainable equities?
Well, it means tons of opportunities for clean energy or renewable energy-related businesses like wind, solar, and biofuels.
So is the outlook the same in the U.S. as it is in the EU?
I would say more or less yes. In the U.S., there's something called the Inflation Reduction Act, which will unlock hundreds of billions of dollars in domestic climate-related investments. And that will filter through the economy, impacting businesses like electrical vehicles, heat pumps, clean cooling systems, etc. In the EU, it is the same. They are giving big subsidies to its own green industries and continues to speed up permits for renewable energy projects and tax carbon. This massive inflow of funding to the US and the EU markets will have a ripple effect globally, especially in Asia, where many suppliers are located. But I have to say one thing, though. There's a big difference between the US and the EU that is related to the government support of ESG. In the US, the right wing, the Republicans, do not support ESG. So if they are in power, I think that would have a negative impact on some of those companies that I mentioned or industries.
Yeah, absolutely. What about interest rates? Can you talk to us about that?
In 24, we expect interest rates to come down. And this should have a positive development for renewable energy companies that tend to be more capital intensive. But the road ahead is paved with uncertainty. There's inflation. There's the U.S. election in November. There's geopolitical tensions. And here I'm talking about the war between Russia and Ukraine and the Israel-Palestinian conflict. If interest rates don't go down as expected, the borrowing cost for companies will increase, and this will potentially slow growth for those companies.
Mm. All right. Well, while I still have you in the studio today, I wanted to make sure I could ask if you would mind telling our listeners about Saxo's Women in Leadership Basket.
Yes, definitely. When I mentioned women in leadership earlier, I talked about the research that shows that companies with more women in leadership tend to perform better. With Saxo's Basket, we wanted to put the research to the test to see if it holds. Is it true that companies with more women perform better? Our basket has the particularity to include only companies that have more than 30% women in leadership positions and companies with top sustainability ratings. It's not just about having lots of women in the workforce. It's about having women in leadership, women who affect the direction of a company.
I think it's just so cool that Saxo has a Women in Leadership Basket. I think that's amazing.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, Ida, thank you so much for coming and making us all a little bit wiser today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Melody.
And before we say goodbye, since Friday is International Women's Day, we at Saxo would like to ask everyone listening to reach out to one woman in your life today and encourage her to start investing if she isn't already. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode featuring Saxo's brilliant fixed income strategist, Althea Spinozzi. On behalf of everyone here at Saxo Market Call, I wish you a very happy trading day. Bye, y'all.